We're going to start right on time. I got one message after this morning's comment on this morning's message. It was from Hans. He wouldn't care if I told you. He said, "Boy, that was a good message." He said, "I'm sure glad it was you and not me." Talking about how the parts fit together and oh my goodness, you know, trying to keep everything PG. Glory to God. But it was all truth. And I hope people didn't get offended people get offended no matter what, you know, how now brown cow. Somebody said, no, my cow's blue. I mean, you know. But anyway, about the conspiracy theories. I mean, even in the very beginning, I got, you know, the first one I heard of was, oh, there's a watermark in the ballots and they'll be able to tell. I don't know how many, other people heard that. And I thought, well, glory to God, wouldn't that be good? See, somebody made that up. That's just not true at all. Somebody just made it up. And then there was so many of those things, you know, there's going to be martial law. Another one, late. You better not do a phone, turn off your automatic update on your phone. They're going to take the emergency broadcasting system off. I mean, you know, so not casting stones. Listen, all of us to varying degrees we've got to, you know, the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. We have the Spirit of Truth, and we've got to learn to be not quite so gullible from this point on. And not pointing fingers. I mean, all of us, I think, believe something somewhere along the line. Martial law. No martial law. Troops are massing in Texas. No, they're not. You know, on and on and on it went. So, anyhow. Now, don't get me wrong. I still believe the God of miracles. I still think things can change. I hope y'all didn't think I was changing my mind on that. Hey, the Red Sea can still part. I don't care, you know. But anyway, I believe I had the mind of the Lord. Now, the only thing I heard tonight, and Sue knows, I was just praying and being quiet before the service, quiet on the inside, just praying and listening. And what I kept hearing was one mind. And then when Sue kind of confirmed that, when she said, one thing we're going to have to really be careful of is during this season, we have to walk in forgiveness and we have to walk in love towards one another. Because if what's coming with what looks like is coming, which is increased persecution, and it could get ugly real quick. You know, there's no atheists in foxholes. you know, if you're willing to hide the Jews during World War II, they didn't care what you're going to hide me and keep me alive. And your best friend that you're in the foxhole with might be a Baptist, might be a Catholic, might be somebody that, you know. But listen, we cannot turn on each other. We're going to have to be real careful and not point the fingers at each other. I wasn't trying to do that this morning. It's not trying to do it now. So the Lord gave me a few verses here. And we're not going to be real long on. I didn't even bring in my confessions. I hope we've got some here somewhere. Somebody has some. Okay. Look at Romans chapter 15. And you got to remember, all of these verses were written under the Roman rule. Thank you, sir. You know, they were under a tyrannical government. During under Nero, it was absolutely illegal to be a Christian. They'd light you a fire and they'd light the stadium with your body and set you on fire, you know. That's not the kind of fire we're after, baptism. Anyway, Holy Ghost and fire, not that kind of fire, okay. But all of these verses that we're about to look at, all of them were written under a terrible time of persecution. So I think it's good for us to just to take a look at these. So Romans 15, starting in verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And I hit the wrong thing there, excuse me. That you may be one mind, that you may be with one mind, now notice, and one mouth. What you think and what you say. We need to come into unity on that. We've had instructions from the Holy Ghost in the prophecies about what to speak. And he said, don't speak against the confessions, you remember that? And then he emphasized more than once, speak the end result. Well, I say, Jesus is Lord over the United States of America. I say, Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. We say Tulsa is in revival. We say God is bigger and smarter than the devil. I like to say my daddy is bigger than your daddy, but anyway. That you may be one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at another one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As Paul is, 1 and 2 Corinthians is full of correction, both of them. And Paul had to say some pretty hard things to them, which if you need it, I want God. I've said before, please don't be too nice to me. If I need correction, I need correction, you know. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:11, where he starts his final greetings here. I just love this. He says, finally, brethren, farewell. Now, that when he says be perfect, it really today would say, now be mature, grow up, be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. There it is again. Be of one mind. Now notice, live in peace. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now today we greet each other with elbow bumps. But really greet one another, you know, and be glad to see one another. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And I know from previous studies that word communion is koinonia. And that means fellowship. And that means like your best friend. That means like the person that you would, that you most like to be around, that you like to talk to the most, the one that you're not afraid to tell your deepest and darkest secrets to. That's koinonia. And he says he's wanting us to have that kind of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God for that. Let's look at another one here. Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 27. Says, only let your conversation, and there he's not talking about your words, he's talking about your manner of life. Only let your manner of life be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now notice, that you stand fast in one spirit, but notice, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now notice this. This is really appropriate to us right now. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. I'm going to say it again. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Now, do you notice? He puts that on us. You have to let it not be afraid. You have to let it not be troubled. It doesn't mean we're not aware of the facts. He's not calling us to be ostriches sticking our head in the sand. But we're to be brave and courageous. I'm thinking of right now out of Joshua chapter 1. Only be thou strong and very courageous, for I am with you. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. No devil shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now there he said no man, but for us it's no devil, because we're wrestling not against people, but against flesh, against principalities and powers, like we said this morning. But in nothing terrified by your adversaries, now he is talking about people here, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. See, that's not preached very often in America. You can go to other countries where they've lived under 70 years of Russian communism, for example. They know all about those kind of verses. We're about to find out some about them. Ours may be very minor compared to what they went through. I don't know. I'm not a prophet, you know. I'm really not. He just shows me what he shows me. But I know this, whether they throw us in the fiery furnace, whether they don't throw us in the fiery furnace, we will not bow. Not going to do it. Not going to bow down to your socialism God. Just not going to do it. Okay? Not going to bow down to the state being God like they're doing in China right now. Hallelujah. All right. Well, next chapter, Philippians chapter 2. He says in verse 1, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Over and over that comes up about one mind. Why, how can we be of one mind? Because we have access to the mind of Christ. We have not only to what he taught us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what he revealed to the apostles in the epistles, but also what he speaks to us as we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost for your individual life. See, to me, I don't know how it affects you guys. To me, that little mini vision, it took like a few seconds of Sue salting one leg of the turkey. You just don't know what that's done to me. It's changing my, the rest of my life is going to be different because of that. I see it so clear what's happened to the church and what's happened to America. And we're not going to retreat like little birds and go off to some mountain and be sad for ourselves. That's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is, be thou very courageous. Don't you be, I'm going to say it again. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife. Now that Hans thinks he can preach. I'll show him. You think you can prophesy? Bronk, who do you think you are? You get all these prophecies, you know. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I don't want to mention any names, but we have people in the room here that would just epitomize that. They're always thinking of other people, always thinking how they can bless other people. My mother is very much like that. Sue is very much like that. Kelly Bell is very much like that. See, I knew she'd duck away if I... Tim and Lee are very much like that, and I'll get in trouble now. But it's the truth anyway. Okay, I'm going right ahead. I won't on Tim. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Here it is. Let this mind, we want to be of one mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If anyone had a right to be vain and proud and high, it's Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I mean, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? He is God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, now notice, once he was here on planet Earth in the form of a man, what did he do? He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And even at the beginning of the year, he was telling me. He did it to another man, but it was the Lord speaking to me. Gary, humble yourself. Humble yourself. Said it three times. Humble yourself. Humble yourself until you can't humble yourself anymore. And then, humble yourself some more. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He completely surrendered his life to the Father, and Christ in us will still do that today. That new man on the inside of us will completely surrender to Christ if we'll get out of the way And that, I thank God we're at a church where we can learn how to get out of the way and let the Lord live his life through us. Okay. I only got about 46 more of these. No, I'm teasing. Let's look at Peter for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Because this is talking about suffering for righteousness' sake. And I don't want to be all draconian or anything, but we're in for a different season than we've had for a while, unless the Lord works a Red Sea miracle, which I'm still believing he could. But if not, it's going to be a different season. So 1 Peter 3:8 starts off. My Bible has a title of, you know, a little subheading over this section called Suffering for Righteousness' Sake. Oh boy. By the way, what are you supposed to do when you suffer for righteousness' sake? What did Jesus say to do? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. They were supposed to, like, yes, hallelujah, as they're beating you in the face. Glory, counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Great is your reward in heaven, by the way, he said. Okay, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, or in conclusion, here it is again. Be you all of one mind. One mind. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Could I say it this way? Love as family. That's what he's talking about. Love as family. Be pitiful doesn't mean be pitiful. What it means is to be humble, be gracious, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Here he goes with words again, see, the Holy Ghost. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You notice over and over again, it's the mind and the mouth. The mind and the mouth. The mind and the mouth. Now let him eschew evil. That means stay away from it and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake. Nobody has any problem with these next three words, right? Happy are you. Be not afraid. Here it is again. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Boy, it sounds just like Jesus. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. I mean, I don't know about you, I could worship God forever for this one verse, that the just died for the unjust. Thank you, Lord. You died, the just for the unjust. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. But do you know that was 120 years that Noah preached righteousness? 120 years. Judgment is coming. Wicked, repent from your wicked ways. Judgment is coming. But after 120 years of preaching, not a single person got on the boat with him. Not one. Dave, when he would preach on that, he says, when the rain began to fall and the water began to rise, and remember, it was the Lord that closed the door to the ark. It wasn't Noah. God closed it. There will come a time when you will not have the choice anymore. Dave says, when the water was rising, can you imagine the banging on the side of that boat? Can you imagine? That's why every time I preach a funeral now, which I've been having quite a few of them here lately, every time I preach one, I always somehow try and get in that sentence, because you never know who's there. There are no unbelievers on the other side of the grave. They all know the truth then. It's just too late. Just too late. You have to make that decision now on this side. Well, anyway, hallelujah. He goes on teaching about that. All I know is this, and I think Sue is absolutely right. I ask her sometimes, I said, don't you get tired of being right all the time? She says, no. No, she likes it. But we are going to have to really walk. Let's be careful. Even when we talk like things about excess or I can't think of the word right now, conspiracy theories and maybe who was propagating them. So what? Everybody was scared. Everybody was trying. Everybody had a good heart. Everybody wanted the right end result. Let's don't point fingers. I fell for a couple of them myself. But I want to be more discerning next time myself too. I don't want to be so gullible I can be led around by people making up stuff and just putting it on the internet. Amen. But we need to walk in love, forgive one another, be kind to one another, help one another. I tell you, it's already in the, there's all kinds, you know, people have been losing their jobs this last week. We're losing people, you know, and who knows what's coming next, you know. You remember last year, right around the turn of the year, he said, I wasn't expecting him to say it, but I said, people are really looking forward to 2020 being over. And then the Lord says, well, that's because they don't know what's coming in 2021. When I heard it, I went, uh-oh. He hadn't shown me anything. It just came out of my mouth. Well, uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. But anyway, I'm not depressed, to be honest with you. I'm not happy. I am perplexed. I'm a little baffled. I don't understand. But I do believe God is our miracle worker. I believe He is our way maker. I believe He is the light in the darkness. And somebody said, you know, God does His best work in the dark. Just go back to Genesis chapter 1. Darkness covered the face of the deep. I mean, it's totally dark. And what did He do? Light be. I mean, everything came out of that. So, hallelujah. And I do believe that even when we don't understand it, let's say it this, or even when we don't see it, He's working. Even when we don't feel it, He's working. I believe He's working. Now, this is Gary's opinion. I believe He is working a long-term plan to save America. He's not wanting to go back to pre-2019 America, where Hollywood is pumping out smut to send around the world, where the reason that dope dealers make a living is because they've got dope buyers. Okay? And, you know, we've got to change people. People have got to change. That's why we've got to have a revival. And He's opening my eyes on some things, like the revival He's had us contending for is absolutely necessary. Because that's the signs and the wonders and the validation of the gospel, and people need to get saved. But I've just been learning recently, this last week or two, about the Great Awakenings 1 and 2 in America. They weren't even preaching salvation. During that time, they believed in Calvinism. They thought it was predestined whether you got saved or not. They weren't teaching, you know, they weren't doing evangelistic services like we do today. So what were they teaching? What caused the Great Awakening? They taught them how God thinks. Taught them how to live. It's a great awakening, and we need that so bad. Today we would call that discipleship. We need to teach people how God thinks, so they think like Him. That's part of why He was doing the little teaching He was doing this morning. God's got a reason for making male and female. He's got a reason for making it. It's a purpose of God. Get in line with that purpose, you'll be blessed. Amen. All right. I don't want to preach this morning's message again, but He's got a purpose. Hallelujah. So what I started, so what we need is both. We need a signs and wonders revival, and we need the third great awakening. And I believe we're going to have it. You know, the big word in the last year was woke. Everybody got woke, you know. But they got woke to all the wrong things. And what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me is the devil, again, is just counterfeiting what the Bible says. Because God wants us woke, all right. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Now you're woke, according to God. Now you're awake. Amen? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Not to all this other stuff that they're all of a sudden woke. Yeah, you're about to have so we need a revival. And that's our part that we've been contending for, and we're going to have it. But we also need a third great awakening in this country. We need changes at every level, but it starts with people. It's got to come from the bottom up, not the top down. Remember, I'm trying to quit. Revival changes the nation, not the change in the nation producing revival. Remember that? All right. Hallelujah.